Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit, sponsored by Mind and Body Strengthening. I'm your host, Scott Marsh. We are broadcasting live on Phoenix Business Radio X, located in the Max 6 studio in Tempe, Arizona. One of the purposes of our show is to highlight success stories from professionals who are extremely busy and have limited time to adhere to a nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle program. We aim to help those busy professionals break through the barriers of thinking fit, getting fit, and staying fit. Another purpose of our show is to provide educational information that is research-based and peer-reviewed. And lastly, leadership. And leadership in the sense of individuals or companies that promote, encourage, and lead by example of thinking fit, getting fit, and staying fit to their employees, customers, friends, and families. So now I'm going to welcome our guests. So first we have Kyle McIntosh, president and creative excitant of Max 6 here. Welcome, Kyle.
Hey, thank you.
So, and then also we have Brian Moore, who's the president of the Conscious Capitalism Arizona chapter. He's on the global board of trustees of Conscious Capitalism, Inc. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you guys.
All right. So, Kyle, you want to tell us a little bit about Max 6?
Yeah, sure. So Max 6 is a couple of things. We focus on spaces, collaborative spaces, and culture-focused leadership programs. So on the spaces side of things, we've got commercial office space, of which about 13,000 square feet of that now is a co-working space in Tempe. Right up the road, we've got a 38,000 square foot co-manufacturing space, so like co-working for people making stuff. And the other side of our business, the culture-focused leadership programs, is driving values throughout an entire organization to really create a framework around that to create higher-performing teams and higher-performing businesses.
Okay. And then do you have some news you'd like to share?
Well, in...
Is that allowable?
Yeah, in 20 days, we will have another commercial office space opening up and an extension of the co-working space. And really, what we do is building better communities where people and businesses thrive. And it's a creation of value for even more people.
Yeah, it's very exciting times here.
So, absolutely.
Okay. So Brian, would you like to touch on some of your past?
Sure.
And how you got to where you're at today?
Yeah. How far back do you want me to go? I mean, you know, how much time do we have? Well, I mean, the beginning of my career was, I guess, figuring my way through the forest, if you will, not really knowing what I wanted to do or what I wanted to contribute to. And luckily, about 5 years into my career, I just through some sheer luck and hopefully a little bit of skill landed as a founding member of a job board called jobbing.com here in town in the Phoenix area. It was one of those just pivotal moments in my life where joining an organization early, having the honor of being considered one of the founding members at a time when technology was really accelerating and when the newspaper, which up until that point had a stranglehold on the employment classified market, was starting to lose its grip to the internet.
Yeah.
And jobbing.com came in and really provided a platform for employers, particularly in Arizona, as a competitive option to what the Arizona Republic provided up until that time. And I was there 11 years. It was an unbelievable rocket ship ride in every sense of what you might imagine a rocket ship ride to be. That then led me to practicing recruiting as a director of talent acquisition for PF Chang's for a little over a year. And through that experience led me to founding a purpose-based leadership search firm called Y Scouts, which I spent about 6.5 years there. And then just recently, this is the fast high-level
right.
version of the career. And then effective July 1st of 2018, really threw all of my heart, body, and soul, and hopefully a little bit of intellect into this conscious capitalism movement, which I've been involved in for about 5 years, and really formalized a partnership with Scott McIntosh, who's the founder and chairman of the Arizona chapter here, again in July of this year, to build the community here, to shine a bright light on the investment community here, the entrepreneurial ecosystem here, the educational institutions here, all of the great things that are happening in Arizona, and to begin to write a different, more evolved story around the power of business. I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
And all of this is being done towards what might feel like a bit of a seminal moment, and it does, and that's the annual International Conscious Capitalism Conference that's coming to Phoenix in April of 2019.
Yeah, good.
So yeah, excited about that. So
that's big.
I took a lot of time to tell that quick story.
That's okay.
So, yeah, which is, I use more words than I typically should, so I apologize.
Well, congratulations on your new position.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks.
So,
appreciate it.
So Kyle, can you tell us, you know, how Max6 got started and where you came from a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, where
without
did you come from?
Many words, how do I? So I've got a background in marketing, and, you know, that's where my degree is, and worked a number of jobs for profit, most recently nonprofit prior to this. My joke is that I hit that last year of millennial that had to go pay my dues at a nonprofit. And so I love the purpose side of it, but it's incredibly frustrating when a nonprofit gets in its own way because it feels like it has to be, in quotes, a nonprofit and act like that when it's just a tax distinction. And so it became a little bit, I don't know, I was done. I needed to do something else and find this way to do business that had the heart of a nonprofit with the horsepower of a for-profit. And so I was searching for that. At the time, my dad was, again, in very much quotes, retired and looking for new fun things to do. And so we were talking about, is there anything we could do together? And so initially, this started out actually 7 years ago on Monday of this week, where we officially decided to do something together. And our idea in the beginning was we want to invest in early stage businesses, but we want to be hands-on. We don't want to, you know, hopefully it works out. See you later. Here's some money. And so we developed the intellectual side along with the monetary piece and developed a business incubator. And when we were choosing, all right, who do we want to work with? We're not, neither of us are tech, neither of us are not tech. And so we're kind of going to do this industry agnostic incubator thing. But we had this, I want the purpose side of business. We both want to see the longevity and the, you know, financial piece of it work out for the investment side. And we kind of stumbled into this articulation of conscious capitalism, which was a framework of companies that have a long-term view of business are creating higher value for all of their stakeholders, including the financial ones. So that became sort of the lens that we looked through every single time of who do we want to work with? Who do we think will be successful? Who's creating value for their financial and community stakeholders? We use the word pivot or whatever. It's changed multiple times throughout the years into what it is today. But really, it's just been a process of what are we really good at? What are we not great at? And it's just what are we good at? Working with leadership teams, working with teams of people. And it's the people side that we just paired everything else off. So we're going to work with teams throughout organizations, drive values throughout the organizations, work on the purpose, the long-term vision of the business. And we still work with early stage businesses, but we've taken some of this and we work with later stage, bigger businesses now as well. And the spaces have really become this community of conscious businesses, creating value, doing awesome things, thriving alongside each other to really provide value to one another as well. So they're all part of this community, although they're doing things by themselves and the businesses at the same time.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we are today. But and it's, you know, companies in a warehouse that are making things, it's companies sitting in an office that are making digital versions of things and just kind of anything you could think of. There's now going to be 77 companies working
wow.
in our spaces
that's great.
Next month.
Yeah. Yeah. So it can also now, so when you guys redid the space here, is that, and then you put, so we have a gym here at Max6 and I'm fortunate enough to be able to work there. So, you know, I feel very honored for that because this is an amazing place to work. So how did you come to have that facility and what was the idea behind that?
Well, there's a little bit of a selfish part of that. And it's, you know, let's build a gym downstairs. Then it's not too hard to drive down the street or whatever. You just go downstairs. But really, I mean, so at the time we had, I don't know, 40 or so companies working in the space. And we're looking at how do we provide value beyond a transactional relationship in real estate? And we want these people to be able to show up, do the work they're great at, that they love, and not have to worry about all this other stuff that's in their life. You know, keeping my mind fit, my body fit, my having to worry about a space for my company. And let's just take all these things off the plate so they can just show up, do what they're great at, do what they love. And it became a really easy decision to, like, this is something that a lot of people everybody needs as a part of their life, the physical fitness side. So if we can provide this to the companies, it became a value proposition then for people to offer that to their employees, for employee retention, for our retention of companies working in the space. And it became, for our own team, just, I mean, selfish or not selfish, it's pretty cool to have a gym downstairs and with a with a Scott Marsh downstairs.
Well, you can go.
Okay.
So, Brian, have you had any exposure in your previous positions or to facilities? Because I know we talked earlier before the show, and you guys, you formally didn't have anything, but, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, fitness, and that's a big word. I mean, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I'm fortunate in that during my high school years, my parents, I guess they didn't want me around the house that much, so they forced me to find an extracurricular activity. And the one that I found, which was both a blessing and a curse, was competitive swimming. And wow, from my freshman year of high school through to, you know, now.
Were you a high energy kid? Is that why they wanted to get you out of the house?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe just keep me from, you know, maybe making some bad decisions. Okay. I'll admit I have a very addictive personality, and, you know, so the object of the addiction can make a really
to steer that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So whether they knew that about me back then, they are my parents. I'm assuming they did. So they steered me towards swimming. And so fitness for me has always been a part of my life, at least starting with my high school years.
Yeah.
And I've always, through that experience, realized that the vehicle, our body, the one vehicle we have is the one we got. And if we don't take good care of it, if I don't take good care of it, it's not going to take good care of me.
Yeah.
And boy, there's nothing like having kids to then reinforce how important it is to model, you know, what you want them to follow.
Yeah.
And I've got two girls, and I'm an Orange Theory fitness junkie. I love the high intensity. I love the competitiveness. I love the randomness. And so fitness has always been just a part of my habits.
Yeah.
On the physical side. And then, of course, the mental side and what I eat and the emotional side and the spiritual side. You know, fitness is a big topic. Yeah. So it is a focal point for me. And in some of those areas, I'm better than others. And I'm thrilled that there is the option here at Max 6 to come down. And by the looks of you, I'm frightened.
You should be.
Yeah. You seem really nice here in the studio, but I'm guessing if there's, like, you know, weights and dumbbells and TRX ropes, and you're probably kind of mean.
No.
But in the most positive of ways.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
It's all for your benefit.
Exactly.
For the greater good.
Right. And you have no fun doing it whatsoever.
Absolutely. Zero.
I don't know if that answered your question, but.
No, yeah. So then, so you both have families, and, you know, I know Kyle, your wife, Sam, she's a fitness instructor also. So how's the family life go with that? You know,
it's great.
I know your kids are little, but.
They're 3 and 5. Yeah. And so there's a certain level of fitness that comes with chasing
Scott's
after
not, Scott's not training them yet? What's the minimum age requirement? I thought it was 5.
They know all this stuff better than I do at this point, going to workouts with mom.
Yep.
And so she teaches 3 different types of workout classes now, for body back, for post-pregnancy, stroller strides, which is working out with your kid in the stroller, and then a pre-birth, when you're pregnant, workout class as well. And it's interesting because I grew up having fitness be a big part of my life, but then I can make up a million excuses. Blew my knee, started a company, had 2 kids, all this stuff. And it just become, I have a personality that's very, I struggle with consistency. And so I just drive hard. And then if there's not boundaries on the bowling lane, I'm off into lane 12 all of a sudden. And so it's good having both at home and at work. Scott, I work out with you twice a week, and having that consistency and accountability and having you work towards goals with me. And at home with Sam, having somebody that's she's got that consistency part nailed. She's working with the kids. I mean, they could run through any of her workouts probably with, you know, blindfolded.
That's fun.
And so I'm bringing more of this consistency as an example at home, but I mean, they're giving it right back to me at the same time, and we're all holding ourselves accountable. So it is good having somebody that is an important part of their life.
Yeah. So the, you know, as those as your children get older, you're going to be in better shape because, you know, you're going to have to keep up or you're going to get left behind.
I mean, wrestling two of them at the same time now is tough. So yeah.
You're the jungle gym.
Yeah.
So what about you, Brian? Are your kids, how old are your children?
My oldest is 14. My youngest is 11. And as luck and timing would have it, my oldest just turned 14, August 24th. And 14 is the minimum age allowable to attend an Orange Theory class.
Okay, great.
And so I had thrown the idea out to her about a month before her birthday and said, hey, if you want to join me and try it, you're more than welcome to come. So the Sunday after her birthday, she went with me, fell in love.
Awesome.
We got her a membership. And she's now been a couple times after. And for those of our audience or your audience who isn't familiar with it, there's these things called splat points where, based upon your heart rate, if you are in some of the upper, higher calorie burning zones, you get points. So they've kind of gamified the workout in a way. And in her second workout, she beat Daddy.
Get out.
Yeah. So a 14-year-old, my 14-year-old, kicked my ass.
So you better up your game a little bit.
Yeah,
huh?
big time. And her mom was telling her, but it's not a competition, honey. It's, you don't have to worry about that. And she's like, well, whatever you say, mom, but I beat Dad.
Right.
So yeah, it was a real point of pride. My youngest, yeah, fitness, not yet.
Yeah.
Although I shouldn't be so quick to judge. They are, both of them are in competitive cheerleading. So just the amount of work that they put into that is no small feat.
Yeah.
So,
that can be very taxing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's
just their ability to contort their body and the tumbling and the flips and the, it's
competitive cheerleading is almost, you know, it's gymnastics.
It is gymnastics.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's gymnastics with, you know, pom-poms.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
so
crazy.
All their minimum requirements you have to do. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's intense.
Yeah. So, you know, it's great to hear you guys, you know, your families are involved and you guys are being fit because it's not news out there, but, you know, America and as the world as a whole, our obesity rate is, you know, kind of, you know, getting out of control. So in saying that, you know, there's all sorts of information available on the internet. You can get workouts. There's all sorts of, you know, availability for gyms and, you know, and such. But why is obesity on the rise? And, you know, do you guys have your thoughts on that?
I mean, they're just an opinion.
Yeah.
I think, and boy, this may take us off the rails and I don't mean to. I think for many people, because they live their lives that is not the most fulfilling way, that eating for many is the most exciting part of their day.
Yeah.
And look, I love food. I mean, most of us love food. Yeah. I love eating. I just had a fantastic meatball sandwich for lunch and no way it was the best choice on the menu. But when I go to make a decision of what to eat, I work out so that I can make some of the less than favorable choices from time to time within reason and try and do things within moderation. I think the obesity thing is a combination of that, a meal being the most exciting part of somebody's day, as well as a lack of education and a lack of options of knowing what I should and shouldn't eat, as well as having access to foods that are what they should be eating. And, you know, that's a big, hairy, important topic right now. And yeah, we're not a healthy society. That's for sure.
It's very complex.
Yeah, it is. It is.
There's more than one answer that can go there because it's, you know, it's a very multi-prong and how do you handle that?
Yeah.
So, So Kyle, do you have some thoughts on that?
I totally agree with what you said. And just to add one more thing in there, it's just too damn easy to do everything now. And it's, Brian, I've heard you talk about this in the past that capitalism wasn't set up to be this everything now. And it's this long-term thing. And I think part of it is the messaging that's coming from these companies and the lack of education or the education that's not correct that's out there. And it's too easy to, not to pick on any companies, but order from DoorDash and order from, you know, it's not a treat anymore. It's just lunch.
Yeah.
And so I think it's this mindset thing of like a McDonald's burger isn't different today than it was 50 years ago, but it's a hell of a lot different as far as the mindset of it's lunch versus it's a treat. I'm going to walk there and walk back and make up for it and work out and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a big mindset shift of you've got to want it. And it's not like living a human existence isn't just going to work to get a paycheck so I can sit on my couch and then food just lets me get through to the next day.
Yeah. So in the book, It's Just Good Business, Jeff Klein kind of touches on a few of these things that, you know, our achievements and our accomplishments as we've gone through history has made everything easy for us. And, you know, so now people are sitting in front of their computers. They're not as physically active as they need to be. It is just some of the things that you guys touched on too, how easy it is. So you really don't have to leave your couch to get anything you need. So moving forward, so Brian, within conscious capitalism, how do you see that, you know, does that fall under any of the four tenets of how companies can, you know, maybe educate some employees, offer things, you know, moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of things that an organization can do. And I would make the argument that it's likely important for there to be buy-in and leadership from the senior leadership team.
Yep.
And not isolate it to a bolt-on wellness program that, you know, perhaps the people department or HR team attempts to roll out without, you know, real buy-in and leadership from the senior leadership team. So I would say it has to start with a true belief that this is important.
Yeah.
That the leadership team believes that if my teammates, those that are here to create the product, deliver the service, serve our customers, serve our communities, if I help them become healthier people, that they will then in turn be more productive members of our team, and we can then deliver better product services, which then leads to more sustainable profitability. It's just it's a very self-fulfilling cycle.
Yeah.
So I think it has to start there. And then from there, modeling the behaviors that you expect. And, you know, if you look at the senior leadership team and they aren't actually modeling what they are prescribing as important,
yeah,
it's probably going to be hard for any kind of an initiative to get lift off. But if that's being done, then I think it's a matter of looking at fitness overall, not only from physical, but emotional, spiritual, and mental. I think it really compromises all of those different areas. And, you know, as we talked about, you know, a few moments ago, how easy it is to just walk over to McDonald's. Most people, if you ask them, is that healthy? I think most people would say, it's probably not the healthiest choice. No, it's not healthy, but it's quick and it's easy.
But they're still going to order it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's a mental opportunity to begin to educate and help people make better choices. So I don't know that that directly answers your question, but in the conscious capitalism realm, and I think just in the, it doesn't even have to be conscious capitalism. This should be a responsibility that business, and I don't care if you're a nonprofit, I don't care if you're a for-profit, I don't care what industry you're in. You, as a leader of an organization, have a group of people who enroll in helping you build your business and serve your customers.
Yep.
I believe it's your responsibility to do your best to take care of the people who are coming to help you build what you're building.
Yeah.
It should be that simple.
Yeah.
It really should. And unfortunately, it's not, but it's got to start there.
Yeah. So, and then, and also too, you know, I think with statistics, the companies that do offer that, maybe, you know, retention is more, you know, it passes on to their families, you know, so I think, you know, it's all encompassing that, you know, it's not going to be, you know, a downfall. So I think the return on investment, I saw some numbers, you know, I think for every dollar that is invested, you know, you may get back a little bit, you know, maybe $3.2 back or something like that, especially if there's a more of a coordinated health effort instead of just handing out some, you know, some flyers or something like that, then I think it drops below a dollar or something like that. So, you know, I think if it's more coordinated, overseen, there's more accountability, then people will be better responsive to it and get a better return on that.
Well, and I think, and to Kyle's point, as he mentioned a few moments ago about, you know, business wasn't originally set up to be this immediate gratification. It's businesses are being built for the long haul. And the same holds true for any type of a health, wellness initiative, fitness initiative, whatever you want to call it. If you want to help people, it should be a forever commitment to help people, not a, hey, we're going to do this for our 2018 initiative.
Right.
I mean, that just sounds dumb to me. Again, I can be very opinionated, but this is, we're all human beings getting up every day and fighting the good fight. This is hard enough to be human in today's complex world. So let's.
So there's, and also there's opportunity there because of the things we said earlier, the lack of education and people maybe just don't have that knowledge. And I see that because I have with my New Warrior program with my recruits that I'm preparing for boot camp. So some of these kids show up, you know, they're 18, 19. I have even some kids into their late 20s. And when I first started the program, I had this young guy show up, and you know, and he's, you know, he wasn't overweight. He was, you know, he's pretty much on the skinny side. So I said, hey, you know, what'd you eat today? And he's like, well, you know, I had a, you know, a couple of bags of chips and, you know, a donut. You know, I'm waiting for, you know, peanut butter sandwich or, you know, I don't, you know, and I'm like waiting, and he's, I'm like, is that it? And he's like, yeah. So he, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was in a different home situation. So he wasn't with his parents. And so he's kind of just functioning on his own. So I'm like, all right. So we had to just, you know, have a little talk, and, you know, I took him over here to the corner store, and I showed him how to read labels on, you know, and stuff, and gave him some choices there, and, you know. So, but they just don't know. But once I got him on track, because he wanted to know, he did amazing. And then he had questions, and that really spiked his interest. So I think companies have the opportunity to provide similar educational experiences for just their workforce, no matter what the age. So
agreed.
Yeah.
I think there's kind of two ways to look at this, and there's the conscious capitalism approach. And what I appreciate about conscious capitalism, it's not conscientious, it's conscious, and so an awareness of all these things. And if even if you were this total, you know, I'm the monopoly guy, and all I care about is the money and the ones and zeros, what we're talking about here is going to make you more successful in the long run, which is the funny thing about people being like, I don't have to care about that or spend on it. Your 1-to-3 ratio, like, it's proven in the market that this is, it's going to make you more money. Cool, you get to help people at the same time. But if you're starting a company because you want to have people be successful for themselves and provide fulfilling life experiences for them, if we're talking about conscious capitalism, a higher purpose, whether it's, I want to be a part of the military. I talk about this all the time. Do what you love. You can run a business on love. That's the Kip Tyndall, the container store. I run a business on love. What does that mean? I, from the top, am going to say, here is our higher purpose. I'm going to get people that are bought into this because I truly believe it. And I'm showing this vision of where we're going as a company. I think there's absolutely an issue with education, but people get it to some extent. They know, one of you just said it, they know if you ask them, is a McDonald's burger healthy? Well, probably not. Like, everything in moderation, but generally they kind of understand. But they know, I want to live a longer life if I'm doing something I love and I'm bought into it and I have this higher purpose. And so if I'm supported by a company where I get to show up every day by buying into what they're into and just having this, I get to be a part of this bigger thing instead of just a cog in the wheel,
mm-hmm.
then fitness and wellness of all kinds becomes more than just this thing I have to do to sustain myself. It's something that's vitally important to allow, you know, more time to do the stuff that I love.
Yeah. So, and then I'll also hear, you know, MX6 with, you know, conscious capitalism is, you know, is centered here. So it's just not a company that you guys are doing. You're just providing it for a whole community. So are you seeing, you know, kind of some drip down to companies of this culture that we're talking about here?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we talk about this all the time. And conscious capitalism, some of it is because capitalism gets a bad rap in the news and these negative stories about businesses that are out there. There's 71 companies that are going to be working these three businesses. All of them are conscious businesses. I mean, there's not one of them that I would say, oh, that's, watch out for those guys. They just yeah. started that business to take money from other people and run.
Yeah.
And I think generally people start businesses because I'm really good at this. I can create value for these people. And so I think I can do it better than someone else that's out there. And I'm going to do everything I can to create the most value for people because that in turn is going to create a monetary benefit for myself. And so generally these companies get it. But it's this consistency of consciousness, awareness. Where are the small ways I can continue supporting my employees, my, you know, vendors, all the people that are around my company? The gym is an example of, like, here's an easy thing I can offer my employees just by being in this space. But what's the next thing I could think about where it's hard to say, well, cool, Whole Foods is doing all this different stuff. When I have a $1 billion budget to do that stuff, I'll start doing something yeah, too.
Right.
What's the little thing you can just start today, have a small step towards creating a, you know, a better culture, a better work environment for your employees? And I think there's all kinds of trickle down. It's not necessarily just coming from us, but companies seeing each other doing cool things. Why don't we have values? Why do you guys have values? What does that mean for you? What are you doing with that? Why are you having a competition thing in the gym with your business, with your people at your company? You know what? Oh, you guys are going out to lunch at you know, a healthier option or like things like that. And I think it's just visibility in a space like this, as opposed to just going into a locked door and we do what we do and we learn from our mistakes. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff that's happening here.
Okay. So that's great. Yeah. So Brian, so within conscious capitalism, so we touch a little bit on the higher purpose of that. So do you have some examples of some companies that maybe would, that you could, you know, we could talk about that would fall within things that we're talking about that are offering these programs to their employees that you think are doing an amazing job?
Well, the easy one is Mach 6, right?
Right.
You set me up that for that one. That was too easy. Yeah. I just need a second. Okay. All right. So a friend of mine, Stacy Mallon, someone I've known for a really, really long time. And this dates back maybe a couple of years, but I think it's incredibly relevant that she was the head of people or human resources, however you want to refer to it, for a company in Mesa called Ulthera. And they came out with a particular skin therapy that reduced wrinkles and for people who wanted to, you know, reduce their wrinkles. And as she got more and more integrated into the organization, they began to offer all different types of wellness opportunities, everything from water stations to handing out pedometers, which I know sounds somewhat pedestrian, mm-hmm. but simply raising the awareness level of how many steps are you taking in a day and then beginning to gamify that so that people, instead of maybe taking the elevator, they take the stairs and making some of those really small choices. And then they were able to, and I'm going to butcher this because I certainly don't have the knowledge that Stacy would if she were here, but they ended up partnering with some of the school systems and doing some really interesting ways to connect the wellness programs to providing school supplies for some of the school systems that they were partnering with. So it ended up becoming for the benefit of not only the employees who were taking advantage of all that Stacy and the leadership team had offered, but they then used it as a way of a bit of a community give back. So it became larger than just for the individual employee benefit. And I wish I could recount the details off the top of my head, because that would make this example a heck of a lot more fun. That's the one that immediately comes to mind.
Yeah.
And I'm sure as we continue the conversation here, if another one pops up, I will certainly bring it up.
Okay, sounds good. So with the big event coming up,
yep.
So are there any companies that are going to be attending that would fall within the health and fitness that maybe passing on their message, and or has there been one at former?
There has been at former, and I'll tell you, somebody who immediately comes to mind who's been a speaker and has been pretty involved in the conscious capitalism movement for a number of years is, the organization's name is the Energy Project, and the chief architect behind it is a guy named Tony Schwartz.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, and he's written a lot and has obviously invested an incredible amount of his time in studying energy and wanting to figure out and crack the code of how do you help individuals operate at their peak performance level. Mm-hmm. And if my memory serves, he looks at the four main quadrants of physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, and mental health. And he has delivered some amazing, amazing, eye-opening presentations to the conscious capitalism community that actually starts with an audit, where I believe each of the four quadrants, again, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, there's four or five questions, and you give yourself a self-audit, and you rank yourself between one and five in those four quadrants, four or five questions per quadrant. And so at the end, you know, you have a number. And then based upon the score you gave yourself, it gives you this ranking of where are you? How are you doing in overall and then in each of the quadrants? And then from that, you know, here are some recommended steps you can begin to take to get better.
Okay.
And take those baby steps to improving what those areas are. It could be anything from eating better to sleeping more to taking a mental break, getting up from your desk every 20, 25 minutes, taking a quick walk, grab a drink of water, whatever it is. There's a lot of content that he's been and his team has been responsible for. Just as a second example, I think the conscious capitalism movement has certainly attracted a number of organizations that are in the, let's just call it the food industry.
Okay.
You know, to me, there's a natural connection there that as we've continued to learn more and more about what we put into our bodies and how it impacts our lives, more and more companies who are writing a new narrative about how important it is about what you eat are the ones that realize, all right, that's one aspect of it. If we help people choose better food to put into their body, they'll begin to live more fruitful, meaningful lives, but that's only one part of it.
Yeah.
And so I believe conscious capitalism has been an excellent and perfectly aligned community where their message is they want it. The conscious capitalism community wants it because they are the type of people that are looking to elevate how they do what they do in every part of their life. It is a leaning into learning community. That's the probably the best way I could say it. And if you're bringing to this community a topic that will help them live better, as well as impact those that they care most about live better, they're going to lean into what you have to say.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I just want to say something to the point about Tony Shorts. His books are amazing. I've seen him speak. It's amazing. And what we're talking about generally here is how to get incrementally better. If we're talking about how to get from $1 to $3, like how do we get our workforce, our leadership team to be incrementally better? But one of the most powerful things that I heard Tony Schwartz talk about is in his work, and this is the truth of it, right, is life or death. And he worked with too many businesses where it's a young leader that just drops dead. And it's not just physical,
literally.
Okay. And it's not just, you know, family business guy drops dead. And then what do we do? And it's not just physical health. It's not just mental health. It's not just spirit. It's these four quadrants, but like, that's the reality of what we're talking about here. And not just the incrementally better, but if we're talking about capitalism is the only socioeconomic system that's raised more people out of poverty. And we can work to make all of that over the last 200 years and work to incrementally make all of that better. But the reality is this is life or death at the same time. And so if we're talking about not just incrementally better, but it stops, that's not good.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a big reality that for leaders, for people that are super busy, the things you're talking about, these people are super busy, I don't have time, all these excuses, that's the reality. If you want to be able to continue doing this stuff, not just incrementally better, like you have to focus on this stuff.
So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you take a first aid class and you become upon an emergency scene, you know, you need to assess it and don't just run in there, because if you put yourself in danger, you're not going to help anybody. So it's kind of the same thing. If you're not taking care of yourself, then how can you take care of your family? How can you take care of your business? You know, I think that kind of coincides with all that. So, you know, you got to look within yourself first. So with education, I look at like these recruits that I'm getting. You know, a lot of these kids have not played, maybe they didn't play sports in school, but you know, you're starting to see the detriment of not having physical education as, you know, available as it was. And that is really starting, I think, to take an impact on what's happening because of that elimination. And, you know, the parents are not just as active and just, you know, they're all that dynamics. And so back to you, Brian, with your thing with the school, was there any impact with, you know, of seeing things that could maybe funnel into, you know, getting people more active? Because, you know, whether it's, you know, probably be outside of the school, after school programs, things like that.
I mean, I think there are absolutely a number of things that schools can do, and individual teachers or guidance counselors or administrators of the school can do. It's tough to armchair quarterback what they should do, especially here in Arizona with, you know, some of the funding challenges that we're having. It's easy to make the argument that if our children aren't being taught the importance of health, fitness, you know, in all of the dimensions at school, I mean, it's really easy to say, boy, our school should do that.
Yeah.
And I hate to armchair quarterback it from where I sit, you know, getting kids involved in extracurricular activities, making sure that the lunchroom, what is being provided, is meeting at least some minimum standard of nutrition, and giving kids options, and maybe removing some of the junk that is there because it's easy or cheap or whatever the reasoning might be.
Yeah.
So there's probably some low-hanging fruit that can be taken advantage of. I don't know that I'm the right expert to comment on what it is. I think in the absence of that, and this is just a general philosophy that I hold very important, is I can't expect the school to raise my children.
Correct.
I have to do that.
Yep.
And so my wife and I, as much as we could throw stones at the school, I'm first going to ask myself, am I modeling what I expect them to follow suit?
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing that, then who the hell am I to accuse the school of failing in their obligations? So it starts at home.
Yep.
And that's just, that's how my wife and I feel about it. And so we get up every, you know, Saturday, Sunday, like clockwork, and the two of us, my wife and I, work out together. I will typically do a couple nights a week as well. Now bringing my daughter with me, which just is an added fun thing.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, she's never friends with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, and now that she's been able to kick my ass at least once, it's like, I've got real competition.
Right.
You know, I've got 30 some odd years on her. So, you know, father time is also kicking my ass.
But, you know, there's a benefit to that daughter, though. So if you have the your local neighborhood Olympics, you guys are going to, you know, rock it out.
That's right. Right. If it would be a father-daughter duo, for sure. So yeah, back to your school question.
Yeah.
I think schools certainly have a responsibility to educate in all areas, not just the subject or the main subjects that the classrooms teach, but physical education, mental education, spiritual education, all of that is really important. And it's got to start with the role models of the kids. And that's, you know, most oftentimes their parents.
Yeah. And if you start them young, then, you know, you get them on the right path, it helps. So.
Yep. It helped me.
Yeah.
I mean, ninth grade was maybe later than I would have liked in hindsight, but damn, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I cursed my parents out spending time swimming laps in a pool. The thing about swimming is it's not very social.
No.
When you're swimming laps back and forth for 3 hours, you're not talking to anybody. So you just get to think or count the tiles at the bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
And that gets old real quick. And, you know, it's a lonely, lonely sport, but it taught me lessons that to this day have been hands down the most invaluable lessons of discipline, being able to push myself further than I think I can go, the mental toughness, the spirit of playing my role, but as part of a bigger team. It has had an indelible mark on my life. And Coach John Jepson, if you're out there, man, you, as I've told him, he's been my best teacher.
That's great. Yeah. Kyle, do you have anything to add to that?
The only thing,
what do you think of Coach John Jepson?
He seems like a good dude.
He did well.
I think, I can't speak to, it's an interesting, what should we do at school? You know, there's just so much going on and responsibilities. And I totally agree. It starts at home. And the other interesting concept I've been thinking a lot about is it's really cool that we have all this technology. Like we're doing something on a platform that's pretty cool technology. And, you know, there's a lot of all sorts of technology that's making the world a better place right now. But just the elimination of some of the screen time. Hey, I don't care what it is. Just get out of the house. I don't care what it is. Just take some of that away. And you're forced to interact in a different way, whether it's physical or intellectual or whatever. Do some imagination playtime. You're going to get something out of that as opposed to just, if I bring myself from like my 100% reality is sitting around with you guys and having a conversation to just 85% of that, I've lost a huge portion of my humanity. And so I think just from a what we do at home thing, that's one important thing to just put it down for a minute and do something else.
Yeah. So, you know, it seems like as time has gone on, you know, you used to want to be outside and staying in was punishment. Now it seems to be the reverse, right? You know, we live in a beautiful state, even though it's a little warm out there, but there's still lots of things to do and, you know, just get outside and, you know, get hiking or, you know, maybe go play some hockey, huh?
I will. I'm getting into it. Getting back.
So, all right. So we're coming near the end. Do you guys have any closing thoughts? Anything you'd like to share going forward?
I think everyone cares about something. Everyone loves something. Loves to do something, cares enough that they love something. And to give yourself permission to follow that. And if you're creating a company, whether you call it conscious capitalism or not, to create a framework of the values and just to give other people permission to do that themselves will create, just pay dividends for yourself as well as just create so much more valuable lives for the people around you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, Brian?
Parting remark. You know, for me, life has become very, very complex, and I am attempting to continue to practice simplifying things. I have found there's four quadrants, if you will, of my life that have helped me simplify, or at least I use them as a filter by which I'll make decisions. One is about my family. The second is about this. I have a best friend in this world, this one person who is outside my immediate family, who is a very important person in my life. The third is I have a couple of hobbies that I don't do for money that are just my creative outlets. And then four is this thing that really conscious capitalism is all about, is doing something that really matters. And as Kyle said, something that I care about. And so I use those four quadrants as a decision-making filter. And that figuring out what those four things were was a process of just continuing to ask the question, is this important? Is this important? Do I care about this? Is this something I want to invest my time and energy into?
Yeah.
You know, I attempt to fit all the options I'm presented with, as we're all presented with an unlimited amount of options of stuff we could spend our time doing. I do my best to use those four quadrants as, does it fit in one of these? Okay. If yes, okay, there's a likelihood I'll do it at some point.
Yeah.
If no, I really need to think hard. Am I going to do this because it doesn't fit? And it's not an automatic no, but it's at least a, I don't know if this is going to add value to the things that I've at least deemed at this point in my life are most important.
Okay.
So my advice would be, if you know, if you want to come up with your filters, your decision-making filters, those are mine.
And that's good advice.
Everybody has their own.
Yeah. So, okay. So Kyle, how do we get a hold of you? If people want to reach out, and
Mac6.com, Kyle.McIntosh at Mac6.com, or come hang out at the gym when I'm working out with Scott.
Yep, come on, come over here in Tempe and see this amazing workspace we have here and everything that's going on. And you can, you know, Brian's here too. So Brian, how do we get a hold of you?
I don't know that me being here sweetens the deal.
I think it does.
Kyle in the gym is definitely sweetening the deal. How do you get a hold of me? Brian@consciouscapitalismaz.com is far and away the easiest way to get a hold of me. And if for those of you that are unfamiliar or interested in checking out Conscious Capitalism, it's consciouscapitalismaz.com. There's a lot going on, and we want more people to get involved in this wonderful movement.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, you know, thank you guys for spending your time with me today. I really appreciate it. Kicking off our first show, it's been very, very great. Thank you to Karen and Dan's here. And I wanted to thank all the listeners for tuning in today on this episode, which is our first of Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit, hosted by me, Scott Marsh, and sponsored by Mind and Body Strengthening. Through a revolutionary program using advanced science, we can help you break through the barriers of thinking fit, getting fit, and staying fit. So you can go to our website, mindandbodystrengthening.com, that's Ann spelled out, for more information or to contact us. Have a great day.